Well, good morning, folks. Good morning. And welcome. Welcome to worship in Railway Street on Sunday, the 12th of March. We are down in numbers, both upstairs and downstairs. I don't know the reason for that is, and I know we've had COVID doing the rounds again, but we're well, especially in the gallery, folks. Very quiet up there today, but we do welcome all of you. And if it means there are additional folks watching online, and I suspect there are this morning, we welcome you as you join us via the live stream. It's good to have you here, folks, as we unite together to worship God. If anyone is a visitor, great to have you, folks. Very welcome. And after the service, there's the opportunity to gather in our link. You just go through these doors and you can share in tea and coffee there. Has been busy, and that's a good thing. It's great to see so many staying, but do remember, folks, there's an overflow into the minor hall, and there are chairs out in the minor hall. So if you find the link, you find it's maybe a wee bit too busy and you're not that comfortable, get your tea and coffee, go into the minor hall and take a seat there as well. So those double doors open into the hall, and we can spread out a bit more if we need to. But do come and share with us after the service. We're here to worship God. Paul says this in Romans 10. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, guys, if you want to come up at this point, that would be good, yep. In Romans 10, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there's no difference between the Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear unless without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. We want to celebrate that good news. We want to think together about the challenge to share that good news together. And we begin by praising the God who saves as we join together to sing In the Name of the Father. Thanks to Alan and the band for leading us and later on in our service as well. Let's come before our God. Let's come in that beautiful name, that name of Jesus. And let's pray. Our Father, as we bow in your holy presence, we praise you for that wonderful knowledge, that wonderful news that our God saves, that there is hope in your name. Lord, we come freely acknowledging we are undeserving of your salvation. We come confessing the reality of our fallen state. Just as David confessed, we are sinful at birth, sinful from the time our mothers conceived us. We recognize at one time we were in open rebellion against you, our Creator and Lord. We deserve nothing from your hands except your righteous judgment for our sin. We acknowledge that we were separated from you, on our way to a lost eternity without hope. But we praise you because of your great love for us, God. You who are rich in mercy did not treat us as our sins deserve. Instead, you offer us salvation. We praise you that your only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, was and is the chosen instrument of your salvation. We praise you for this wonderful name, the name of Jesus, Yeshua, which means the Lord saves. We thank you that we are saved through his atoning death on the cross, by the fact that he bore your wrath over our sin and paid the price in full, so that in his name we could know forgiveness, we could experience salvation, we could be born again and know hope in his name. Lord, we praise you for your salvation. We praise you for Jesus, acknowledging there's no other name given by which we can be saved. We praise you for this gospel, this good news, remembering that to us has been given the calling and task of sharing this good news. We reflect again this morning, you call us to be your witnesses. You call us as your disciples to go and make disciples. Lord, forgive us for how so often we neglect this calling, whether individually, failing to take the opportunities you give us day by day to be your witness, or our failing together as a church to effectively reach out in the name of Jesus. Speak to us today, Lord, about the centrality of evangelism as another essential mark of the church, and stir us up to bear witness to that great salvation. For we ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Father God, we thank you that there are disciples of Jesus in every part of our world. Today we remember Romania. We think especially of Steve and Rosie and Julia and Lucy, who are living and serving you in that country. We thank you for the church they're involved in. We thank you for the translation work done every Sunday, making those Hungarian services available in English and Romanian for others to come along. We thank you for all those in the city who are making Cluj their new home. Thank you for the beautiful, vibrant city it is, and for people from so many different nationalities who have come there, and those different nationalities that are now represented in that church. We pray for all the children in the kindergarten and the Ukrainian after schools club. Thank you for the English classes that they have. Be with Rosie and Alona as they take the opportunities to teach those simple phrases in English, but also to share the love of Jesus. And we pray that you'd be with Steve and Rosie and Julie and Lucy, that you would build your church in Cluj, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, young folks, going to let you go out to kids' church and youth church now. Thanks again to the band for leading us out. That was great, folks, and great words that we were singing. Let's turn again. That's as our launch pad, if you like, into what we're thinking about today. Let's turn again to Matthew chapter 28. Let's remind ourselves again of that commission that Jesus gave to his apostles, and by extension, that commission that is then given to us as the Lord's disciples today. Verse 16 of Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Amen. We thank God for this reading from his word. Back a few weeks ago, we had Colin Elliott and his group Live Issue gave a concert here in our building. In the lead up to that, I was rebuked by some of the ladies in our PW for saying, as I was announcing that concert, that it really wasn't my sort of music. And I was told on no occasion, make sure on no occasion you say that on the night of the concert when you're saying your thanks at the end. Now, Live Issue are a great band at what they do, and I hold very much with what the late Gerry Anderson once said about country music. He said there are three types of country music. There's good country music, there's country and western, and there's that rubbish that Hugo Duncan plays. Now, he didn't use the word rubbish. This was Gerry Anderson. I can't use the word he used in church, but I subscribe to that. But as a result of saying that, I had people ask me, "Well, what sort of music do you like then?" Well, here's one of my favorite singers here. Anybody recognize that guy? George Harrison. George Harrison, one of the Fab Four, like the Beatles, but especially when it comes to the Beatles, my favorite individual Beatle was George Harrison. And George Harrison's final single was actually released just after he died a number of years ago. And his final single was called Any Road. And it was the opening track on his posthumous album, Brainwashed. And the chorus contained these words: if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. If you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. And that's very true, isn't it? If we don't know where we're going, it doesn't matter what road we're on. But as the church, we cannot afford to not know where we're going. We cannot simply wander aimlessly. In the church, it is vitally important that we know where the Lord of the church is calling us to go so that we can take the right road to get there. And that's what we were thinking about 2 weeks ago as we began to look at the Kirk Sessions mission plan for 2023 to 2025. Now, if you weren't here for that, you can go online, you can go to the website, you can listen to that, and I would urge you to listen to part one of that. I'll give a short summary before we move on today. First of all, we look back over the road that we've come. That's what we did as a Kirk session. We looked back over the road that we have come. 2 weeks ago, we were reflecting on that spiritual work that God started among his people in Jerusalem in Nehemiah's day. After the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem, the people discovered that was only the start of God's plan for them. There was much more he wanted to do in the lives of his people and in their community. And we were thinking that in some ways we're in a similar situation. The physical building work of the Link redevelopment is completed. But that's not the end of the journey for us as a congregation. It's only the beginning. Now that the physical building is over, there's the work of spiritual rebuilding that God wants to do among us, his people in Railway Street Church. And the Link and the Minor Hall are tools to be used in the work and the witness of this congregation. God wants to see these buildings, all our buildings, used for ministry and mission. Now, I shared with you how the eldership looked back over that journey we've come on and sought to evaluate where we are as a church. I shared with you the last time how we could see many encouragements of how God had been with us and helped us not only to continue to worship and to support each other through COVID, but how God enabled us to move forward during that time of restrictions. As elders, we were encouraged and thankful to God for his goodness and his faithfulness. However, we also looked and took an honest look at our weaknesses as a church, and we highlighted some of those 2 weeks ago as well. Secondly, then, as we were thinking 2 weeks ago, we thought about charting the way ahead. Having looked back over the road that we've come, we then sought to begin to chart the road that we're to take going forward. And that involved identifying spiritual priorities and opportunities. And I shared with you that as a congregation, we want to concentrate on two specific spiritual priorities over the next couple of years, which are these: all-age discipleship and intentional outward evangelism. So 2 weeks ago, we spent some time thinking about the centrality of discipleship in terms of a healthy church's life. And we saw that call to make disciples is built into the Great Commission in Matthew 28. We saw that the call of Jesus to the apostles was to go out and make disciples. And at its most basic level, a disciple is a follower. In our case, a follower of Jesus. And discipleship is a lifelong journey that we are called to every day. It's a daily journey of deliberately and consciously seeking to grow deeper in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And I was asking you to think about that, sharing some of the opportunities for discipleship that there are, other opportunities that will be coming up, and asking you to look at your own walk of discipleship. But what's very striking in that Great Commission is that it also lays upon us the centrality of evangelism in a healthy church. You cannot have a church of growing disciples who are going deeper unless you first go out wide and share the gospel with others. Winning converts is the first stage of the journey of making disciples.
And for the apostles, the task of making disciples begins with evangelism on the day of Pentecost. Do you remember the Holy Spirit came upon the gathering of the Lord's people in the upper room? A large crowd had gathered for one of the Jewish festivals, and they came together in the temple courts, and Peter preached to them. And as a result of the Holy Spirit's work, 3,000 people respond. 3,000. And the end of chapter 2 of Acts describes the work of discipleship that then began to take place among these converts. And connected to that was the ongoing evangelical impact that they were having on the wider community of Jerusalem. Let's remind ourselves of that. We turn to those familiar words. Turn with me, folks, to Acts chapter 2. Very possibly a passage I think I used maybe my first Sunday here as minister. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, 47. Familiar words, but let's reflect on them again this morning. Acts 2, 42. This describes what happened after those 3,000 were baptized and became followers of Jesus Christ. Verse 42 of Acts 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The journey of discipleship that they were embarked on was about creating a very different and a very attractive community in Jerusalem, which was so distinct from the legalistic and dead worship of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Here was a vibrant community filled with joy, where they had a love for one another that was seen in practical actions. Alongside this was the evidence of God's supernatural power at work through miracles of healing. And this life of discipleship was in itself a powerful evangelistic tool, because the people of Jerusalem were able to look and to see these folks meeting every day in the temple courts and to see the reality and the power of the gospel. The evidence of their changed lives and their priorities authenticated the gospel preaching of the apostles, with the result, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The conversion of others through saving faith in Jesus Christ was a daily experience in the life of the early church. It was the norm rather than the exception, the rare experience that it often is for us today. But several chapters later, we find that the church is still by and large confined to Jerusalem. Now, we know Jesus had said to his apostles before he ascended into heaven, he said, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." But several chapters later, they're still in Jerusalem. They haven't made it out into Judea, let alone Samaria. Turn forward a few pages to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8 and verse 1. This is describing what's happened after the martyrdom of Stephen. Remember, Stephen was stoned to death. Saul was there holding the coats of those who engaged in that. And we read this. "On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him, but Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison." Look at what happens when the believers are forced out of Jerusalem. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Verse 5, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached and proclaimed the Christ there. As a result, the gospel moves out into the Judean countryside and it moves into Samaria, just as Jesus had said it would. The church was scattered and sent. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. And that reflects how the scattering of the church wasn't a defeat, but it was a doorway as the believers faced the new and difficult reality as those sent by Jesus to share his message with the world. As we've already seen today, scattered and sent is the theme for those Mission in Ireland events happening all around the country, happening for us in Meath next Sunday evening. We too as a church are scattered and sent. We gather here for worship on a Sunday. We gather to worship our God together. We gather to be encouraged as we sing and we pray and as we are taught from God's word. And then we go out those doors, or we go out those doors, we go out some doors. And we're scattered across the community and beyond during the rest of the week. And each of us is called to be a witness to Jesus Christ wherever God has placed us from Monday to Saturday. We're called to be Jesus's witnesses through our words, through our actions. And we need to be constantly challenging ourselves as to how we play our part as Jesus' scattered servants wherever we spend most of our time during the week. But what we see in the scattering of the church in Acts 8 is that you cannot separate evangelism and discipleship. They work together in a never-ending circle. You see that in terms of the early church being scattered. If you go on a few pages again to Acts chapter 11 and verse 19, you'll see that. We read there Acts 11, verse 19. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. That was well beyond the borders of Judea and Samaria. See what's happening? The gospel is continuing, fulfillment of Christ's word to spread ever outwards. And we read, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. A large church is established in Antioch consisting of Jews, but also many Gentiles. And what did these new believers in Antioch need? They needed to be discipled. And so Barnabas was dispatched from the church in Jerusalem to see what was happening in Antioch. He recognized it as a work of the Lord, and he knew what needed to happen next. He saw that they had needs for good teachers, and he knew where to find one. We read on there in chapter 11 that Barnabas went down to Tarsus to look for Saul, who had turned from persecutor to disciple. And when he found him, he brought him back with him to Antioch to help in the task of discipleship. And so we read that for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. We cannot separate evangelism from discipleship. They are two essential, interconnected callings for our church. One leads to the other. The apostles were called to go and make disciples. The process of disciple making begins with evangelism, sharing the gospel, seeing people come to faith. The one leads naturally into the other. An evangelist and a pastor in America were out bear hunting when suddenly out of nowhere a grizzly bear appears. And they sprint back to their hut as fast as they can, and the bear is in close pursuit behind them. And the evangelist gets there first, and he pulls open the door. And the pastor goes hurtling inside with the bear right behind him, whereupon the evangelist shuts the door. And there's an anguished cry as the pastor screams, "What are you doing?" To which the evangelist replies, "You deal with this one. I'll go and get another one." Evangelism, discipleship cannot be separated one from the other. Evangelism leads to discipleship. Discipleship leads to evangelism. And as we've seen, that evangelism happens as we're scattered during the week and as we seek to be witnesses for Jesus wherever he has sent us. But in addition to being scattered and sent, there is also great benefit in a congregation engaging in intentional outreach, working together to hold specific and focused outreach activities and events. Drumgooland and Kilkenny-Murray, the Kirk Sessions committed to a focused time of evangelism every 2 years. That would either be for a week or 2 weeks. We would have bridge building activities. We would have meetings for children and young people. And we still did it old school in the country. We would run along a mission speaker and they would have spoken on different subjects in the evenings. Every 2 years, we knew we were going to be coming to a time of focus outreach. And this is an area where, as a congregation in Railway Street, now that all the restrictions are over, that we need to go out and do. It was said to me when I came by some connected with this church that we've sometimes been too insular, too inward-looking, too focused on those who already belong rather than reaching out with the gospel to those who don't belong. Now, I know in Brian's time there were great efforts in terms of addressing that. There was the work of the food bank that began here in Railway Street. There was the night reach ministry around the pubs and clubs that seemed to succeed in closing whatever pubs and clubs you were working outside. And that was important work. 3 years ago, we were seeking to move beyond our comfort zones as Kirk Session had committed us to work in partnership with many other churches in Lisburn through the 10,000 Lives Initiative with Crown Jesus Ministries. We were planning specific events here in Railway Street, beginning with the St. Patrick's Social and Hog Roast, among other events. But we now know with the coming of COVID and the beginning of lockdown, none of those events happened. Till last weekend, some of them happened then with Barry Woodward. This Sunday, would you believe it? This Sunday marks 3 years since in-person services were suspended and we had to move online. None of us were here this Sunday 3 years ago. But as I look back to 10,000 lives, the truth is, as a congregation, we weren't ready for it. We weren't ready for it. We weren't spiritually geared up for it. I'm conscious part of that was my fault. I was not here to lead and to prepare you as a congregation. I had a time of prolonged illness. But we need to return to this vitally important aspect of church life, going wider than those who currently belong, intentionally seeking to reach out into our community. Sometimes a building project in a church can exacerbate that insular nature of a church. One of the dangers of a building program is it encourages us to focus inward. And throughout that process, that's why we've sought to emphasize that at its heart, the link is not about building links simply between those within the congregation, but also building links with those outside the church. Thinking about how our new facilities are designed to help us follow Christ and serve the community. And the truth is, the greatest service we can do for our community is to share the gospel with them. Noel Dara is a retired congregational minister. He served his entire ministry in Strayed Congregational Church. He assisted in a couple of missions in Drumgooland and Kilkenny-Murray, and I remember talking to him, and he very much stressed the importance of evangelism throughout his ministry. And he noticed over those long years he was in Strayed that if they as a church did not regularly and intentionally focus on reaching out, he found there was always that temptation and the danger that the church would turn inward. And that's when the problem started. That's when the complaints and the grumbling and the gripes would magnify. But when they kept a focus on evangelism, then many other things in the church fell into place. And of course, we need to make sure that we do not limit our evangelism simply to inviting people in here. The command of Jesus to his disciples was to go. 2 weeks ago, we finished our service by singing, "Go forth and tell." Go forth and tell. The doors are open wide. Sometimes our doors are open wide to invite people in, but sometimes our church doors are open wide so that we go out into the community with the gospel. And we know no matter how good our facilities are, there are many who would never think of darkening our door. So the challenge is to find ways to connect with our community outside our buildings. That involves going. And so our mission plan highlights both events to which we invite people in and initiatives that will involve us going out. What will that look like? Let me share with you just a few of the outreach opportunities we've identified. Some of them we're already doing. Folks, this all begins with prayer. we're going to see people come to faith, we need to be praying for that to happen. We need to be praying for that individually. We need to be praying for that together and those prayer opportunities. It's been great the last couple of months to see increased numbers and increased energy and increased praying and prayer focus. We want to build on that. We need to devote ourselves to praying to God to bring to saving faith, both those inside and outside the congregation, because I'm conscious there are still folks connected to our congregation, even possibly people here today, and you're not yet a believer in the Lord Jesus. And so we need to ensure that the challenge to respond to the gospel is presented through the preaching of God's word, and I seek to do that. We want to continue to develop our website and our social media platforms to support our church's outreach. That's been one of the really good things that's come out of COVID is the steps that we've taken forward there. But let me share with you something new that we want to start very soon. It doesn't take much setting up, and that's the link up on Wednesday mornings. And we hope to start that on Wednesday, the 22nd of March, so that's only a couple of weeks away. And what we're going to do is simply open up the link on a Wednesday morning from 10 a.m. to midday and invite anybody who's free for those 2 hours to come along, and for you to invite others in the church or in the community to come in and to find a warm welcome. There are plenty of folks out there who are looking for company and conversation. And the idea is it will be a drop-in. People can come and go as they wish. There won't be any structured program. There won't be any organized activities as such. Simply an opportunity for people to come in, enjoy company and chat, tea and coffee. We'll see how that goes. We'll evaluate it as it goes and see what other opportunities come out of that for discipleship or evangelism. We've already started opening the link as a dedicated parents area on Tuesday and Thursday evenings during BB and GB. That's first and foremost about providing hospitality and a welcome to parents who prefer to stay on site while Anchor Boys or Explorers are on. But we also want to use that as an opportunity to help some of us in the church get to know some of these BB and GB families and for them to get to know us. Now that's, in all honesty, Tuesday night has been quiet. Thursday nights have been going much better, but we need to persevere with that. Building relationships takes time. Then there's this. We want to work towards the use of one of the Christianity Explored courses, whether here in our link or in an outside venue. Whether that be Christianity Explored or Life Explored or Hope Explored, they're all designed to do the same thing, to introduce unbelievers to Jesus Christ, the Jesus we've been singing about today. We want to look at how we can develop links, meaningful links with local businesses. We recognize our location. We are a town center church. Yes, we have housing around us, but primarily we have businesses around us. And we need to think about how we connect and support those businesses. Being a businessman in Lisburn is not easy these days, folks, and I continue to urge you, let's make sure we support local businesses as far as we can. Let's not be giving our money to Jeff Bezos when we can give our money to people who are struggling here in Lisburn. Now, there are other things that are in our mission plan. You'll see those as well. And in addition to seeking to engage in focused outreach as a congregation, we also want to support other individuals and organizations as they engage in outreach work that is ultimately designed to bring people to Jesus Christ. And we recognize there are so many Christian charities and mission agencies out there. And we recognize that it's not possible for our congregation to support everything. And so it's better that we focus on supporting specific missions that we have links with. We all have individual missions and charities that we support personally. But Kirk Session believes as a congregation we should focus our interests and support on a more limited and specific number of mission agencies locally and internationally. So locally and nationally. Lisburn Food Bank is something that we've been supporting for quite some time, that folks in Railway Street have been involved in. Christians Against Poverty, very active and busy in these days. Exodus, it's great having Exodus next door. We work in partnership with them so well already. 3 Exodus teams going out from Railway Street this year. Scripture Union and the Schools E3 project supporting Rebecca Armstrong and her work, and working very closely with her and with Brownlee, among other schools. We support the Belfast City Mission Christmas Appeal, and again, they are so grateful for our support this year. And then PCI Mission in Ireland, we want to continue to support the outreach work of our church. We hear about that next Sunday. And to look at whether we can develop a partnership with the PCI Home Mission Congregation. Is there a specific church that we could partner with and work with? And then internationally, we've supported Tear Fund and Christian Aid for many years. We're going to continue to do that. Open Doors as well, as it supports the suffering church. PCI Global Mission, remembering that we have many global mission workers. RPW already support Diane Cusack, one of our global mission workers currently recovering from serious illness. In addition, we have that link with the Hungarian Reformed Church. Our denomination is in partnership with it. And we have those links through Exodus, through Imre, and through Steve and Rosie Kennedy. The Samaritan's Purse Shoebox Appeal, which we support each year. And more recently, Jews for Jesus. You'll remember Ziggy Rogoff, who was with us. Real character, Ziggy, sharing that Passover demonstration. Ziggy's going to be back with us on the 2nd of April, Sunday the 2nd of April, sharing more about the work and preaching on that occasion. And we want to ensure that we are informed of the work of these mission agencies, that we continue to pray for them and we continue to give towards them. If you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. We believe we know the road that we need to take as a church. And it's a journey that the Kirk Session call you to join us on. And that's thirdly and very briefly, we want to move forward in the journey together. Folks, let me stress this. Mission plan is not a paper exercise. This is not a document that we have drawn up that's going to be filed away and forgotten about. This is something that we are going to keep at the heart of what we do together as a congregation. It will be a constant item on our Kirk Session agenda as the elders look at how we implement different parts of it. We were thinking about our home groups, revitalizing our home groups on Monday night. But this is not simply the Kirk Session's mission plan. This is a plan for the whole congregation. And the challenge is for each of you to look and to ask yourselves, where can you play your part? At his inaugural address on the 20th of January 1961, President John F. Kennedy said this: ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. Our case as members of Railway Street, we each need to ask a similar question. Ask not what your church can do for you. Ask what you can do for your church. We get so much more when we become contributors rather than simply consumers. And so we want to challenge all Railway Street members and families to dedicate themselves to this task, to rededicate ourselves to the central importance of meeting together for weekly worship, and to devote ourselves in these coming days to intentional evangelism and ongoing all-age discipleship. Mission plan will be printed in full in the next bulletin. You can read it and study it there and ask God, what is he asking you to do? Let's go forward in this journey together as we seek more effectively to follow Christ and to serve this community. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you that what we're talking about is anchored in your word. It's anchored in what Jesus called us to do. It's anchored in what we see the early church doing in Acts. That twin work of discipleship and evangelism that always works together in an ongoing cycle. Lord, as we seek to recommit ourselves to these two vitally important aspects of the church, work in our hearts first of all, Lord. Stir us up. Stir us up, Lord. Keep us from being lukewarm about spiritual things. Give us a desire to grow as disciples, a desire to reach out with the good news we have. Raise the spiritual temperature in this church, Lord, so it matches the temperature out there in the link this morning. Build your church among us, Lord. Help us to see what we can do to play our part in this plan, in the realms of discipleship, whether that be helping to teach others, whether that be continuing to learn ourselves. and in evangelism, as we seek to be your witnesses wherever you've placed us, and as we seek to use specific initiatives here in this church to reach out and connect with others. Build your church, Lord. Bring people to saving faith. And help us then to grow together as devoted disciples of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Was at this point, if we got this far 2 weeks ago, wanted us to sing Go Forth and Tell. Would be nothing wrong with doing that again, but Alan's picked a great one to finish with. And that's Shine, Jesus Shine. When I was a teenager, this was such a big song. It's scary to think, you know, that it's some 40 years plus old now. But marvelous words, and a call to us as a church, and a call to us to our Lord to ask him to work in our church, to work in our land. Shine, Jesus, shine. Lord, the light of your love is shining.
Oh, it was great to sing that today. Thanks, Alan. That was marvelous. Folks, let's share in the words of the grace together. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.